Eleazar drank wine in front of the thousands. This isn't just a social gathering, having a few friends over for a barbecue. This is, you know, he's showing off. It's this defiance of God disguised as celebration. So this wasn't just a little bit of an indulgence. This was leadership modeling sin. And this arrogance that he has that day when he toasts his God, it was actually his blasphemy. So he was taking these vessels, these cups, and treating them like they were Tupperware from the kitchen cupboard. But instead, they were holy items. They were specifically designed, created, crafted, and set apart for the worship of the Lord God. And he drank from these sacred cups taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem. And instead of using them for worship and words of praise, it now becomes this drinking competition. So instead of joyful words of praise, it becomes chug, chug, chug. And he's blaspheming God as he does it. Belshazzar is mocking a holy God. And if that weren't enough, he praises these inanimate God that they worship of, you know, gold and silver, bronze and iron and stone. So this wasn't just, you know, ignorance of, oh, I didn't know. This was rebellion. And to misuse what God has called holy invites judgment. Now, we got to be careful here, because sometimes there can be a spirit of Belshazzar that lurks in all of us. Now, I don't mean we're throwing wild parties and toasting the gods of iron and stone and bronze, but we can take what God has created as holy and what God wants us to set aside as holy, as sacred, and we can treat it as common. Here's what I mean. We can read about this in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Now, just as Belshazzar misused the temple vessels, we can dishonor God when we misuse our bodies for sin. Because the New Testament tells us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit when we have Jesus living inside of us. But this all also happens when we just kind of compartmentalize God and we just give him a small fraction of our life, a small fraction of our time, and live like he's irrelevant the rest of the week. As we look at the whole of Scripture, we realize that God desires all of us an entire lifestyle that exemplifies obedience to his word and a lifestyle of worship. So the warning here we really need to hear, that God does see our sin, even when we think no one else does. God sees our heart. He sees what's going on behind closed doors when no one's looking. In fact, the prophet Isaiah writes about this in Isaiah 47, and it just kind of reminds us that we can't, you know, get away with it, because it says there, Isaiah 47, verse 10, "You felt secure in your wickedness, you said, 'No one sees me.' Your wisdom and your knowledge led you astray. You said in your heart, 'I am, and there is no one beside me.'" Verse 11, "But evil shall come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away. Disaster shall fall upon you, for which you will not be able to atone. Ruin shall come upon you suddenly, of which you know nothing." I love that phrase in there where it says, "Evil shall come upon you, which you will not know how to charm away." In other words, you can't keep your way out of it. See, God sees our hearts, and God also confronts our sins. And this is where Daniel chapter 5 gets really interesting, because at this point in the text, this hand appears out of nowhere, and it begins to write. So verse 5, "Immediately the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand, and the king saw the hand as it wrote." So this hand and fingers appear, and all of a sudden the party and the laughter die. to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. But before he gets to that point, Daniel kind of pauses and gives Belshazzar a history lesson. He goes back a little bit and he recounts to him his father's history. He relays to him Nebuchadnezzar's story. And he reminds him that God was the one that gave Nebuchadnezzar's power, and God was the one that took it away. Yet the king still became proud, and God humbled him for a period of time. father, and he lost everything. Journey, we don't have to. Jesus took the punishment that